Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. Wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Khalil Ali, Senior Education Savings Consultant for Edvest 529 College Savings Plan. Welcome to the show, Khalil.
Thank you for the invitation, Heather. It's great to be back here in front of you.
Yeah, this is a really exciting topic. I'm really happy to be able to talk to you about college savings and how to use a 529 plan to save. I think a lot of parents and grandparents are somewhat familiar with the benefits of the saving. We'll go over those again, but as a parent of two college kids, I really want to make sure that the audience understands how you actually spend the money when they actually go off to college, what you need to think about while you're spending and some different strategies and kind of pieces around that.
Yeah, what happens is you spend the bulk of the time in that accumulation or that savings phase, and then you get to the point where, oh, the person I've been saving for is ready to start their college education. So how do I take the money out? What can it be used for? So very happy to be here today to just share, you know, some of those ways, those what are called those qualified higher education expenses and how you can use the money and where you can use the money from the Edvest account.
Yeah, that's great. You know, before we get too far into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at the Edvest 529 plan?
Sure. So I have been with the Edvest 529 College Savings Plan. This is already year four going into year five. So what I do is work with a lot of individuals who are trying to figure out how to cover the cost of higher education, because we all know that college is expensive and it's getting more expensive by the day. So work with them to help them figure out, you know, what their college savings goals are, how to meet those. A lot of people also don't understand or realize that the Edvest plan can be a no-cost financial wellness benefit that can be part of an employer's benefit package to all of their employees as well. So it's a great way to be able to reach more Wisconsinites to help them save to cover those higher education expenses.
That's really great. And we should talk more about that employer benefit side, you know, for all of the different business owners or corporate leaders that we've got listening to the program.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Maybe that'll be step three of us getting together here.
That sounds great. So, you know, again, when we think about the savings benefits, we can kind of get into different ways to save and why to save in the Edvest.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to be able to save to cover college expenses. Some of the beauty and benefits of Edvest is that, one, you're saving with after-tax money, and that money grows tax-free or tax-deferred. So you're not paying any taxes while those savings are growing, while the beneficiary that you're saving for is in elementary school or middle school or high school, or even if you're a returning career professional and you want to go back and further your own education and you want to save. So that money grows tax-free for you during that time frame. And then when you reach that point where you do need to start pulling the money out, you get to take that money out tax-free for those qualified higher education expenses that we'll get to in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But another additional added benefit for Wisconsin residents is that you get to take a state tax deduction on the money you contribute into the account. And the legislature actually did a great increase in what that benefit is for tax year 2024. It's gone up to $5,000 per beneficiary for single filers or those who are married filing jointly. Now, there will be some situations where if you're married filing separate, you're going to cut that amount in half, so it'll be a $2,500 benefit. But it's per beneficiary. So if you have multiple children and you're in a position to be able to maximize that for, you know, each beneficiary, each child that you have, you can really look to reduce your Wisconsin taxable income year over year.
That's great because, you know, for Wisconsin state tax, people are paying 5%, 6%, maybe even 7% in certain situations. I don't have a calculator right in front of me, but, you know, that adds up to hundreds of dollars of tax savings if you have a lot of beneficiaries that you're saving for.
Absolutely. And another thing, sometimes folks hear that maximum state tax deduction of $5,000 or the $2,500, and they think that's the most I can contribute into my EdVest account. Well, Wisconsin actually has a carry forward provision on the state tax deduction. So if you contribute over either that $2,500 or that $5,000, any dollar over that you get to claim as a tax deduction in future tax years. So if you have someone who may, you know, let's say they got a great bonus from their job and they're like, you know what, I want to put this towards my child's education. If they got $10,000, $12,000, they can put it in at one time, and they just created multiple years of a tax deduction off one contribution.
And that is an important thing to remember, right? Because I think we do get stuck on that tax year kind of rule, but knowing there's that carry forward. And this applies for people that are not the parent of the beneficiary, correct? If they contribute directly to the plan as, a, say, a grandparent or a family friend or a special aunt.
That is correct. So EdVest has made it easier for non-account owners to be able to make contributions into the account. So if it's, like you say, grandparent, aunt, uncle, special aunt, whoever it may be, you know, we hit the end of the school year. So maybe a child had a great school year. You want to reward them for it, or birthdays or other milestones. The account owner is going to have what's called a U-Gift code. It's a unique six-digit alphanumeric code that they can email out to all their friends and family members directly from their EdVest account. And so whoever receives that code will have the ability to create their own profile, and they're going to have a record of their giving. So that way they, too, can take advantage of the state tax deduction by making the contributions into an EdVest account, even if they are not the owner of that account.
Right. So it's a lot less hassle for that gifter. I mean, they have to go through the process of putting the money into it, but they didn't have to open up their own account and figure out how to, you know, set that up and manage the funds, but they still can get that state tax deduction.
Absolutely. So all they need, once you send that U-Gift code out, it has the name of the beneficiary that they're saving for. So it takes maybe 2 to 3 minutes to set up your U-Gift profile. Mm-hmm. Once you set it up, you don't have to recreate it.
Okay, great.
That U-Gift code doesn't expire unless the account owner deactivates it. So they send it out once, and, you know, if I were to send that to you and say, Heather, you know, my nephew's got a birthday coming up. You met him before. You know, do you want to make a contribution? If you've got that code, you can create your own calendar reminder and say, you know what, I'm going to go in and give them a contribution into the account. So it's Wisconsin summer. You got yard work. Maybe pay the child for doing some of the yard work, and the other portion of that goes as a contribution into the EdVest account.
Right.
There's so many different ways to be able to make the contribution, or reasons why you would want to make the contribution into someone's EdVest account. And we're just trying to make it as easy as possible for folks to be able to make those contributions.
That's a kind of unique scenario you just gave up too, which is a great way for people to feel even better, depending on how they view the savings and the gifting of this, you know, kind of do a matching, right, for that beneficiary, for that student, if they, like you just said, they do some yard work, and so they get paid a little cash, and then that's also an incentive. Then the grandparent also puts money into their EdVest account on their behalf. That's a kind of a neat thing. I just was turned thinking, yeah, you know, we want to have, many people want to have their kids have a little bit of a leg into the, you know, a toe or a foot in to the accountability of paying for college. And that's a unique way to do that, right, to save on their behalf because of other acts that they do.
Absolutely. And I'm, and you can, whoever is making that contribution, whether it's the parent, grandparent, make, and that is the account owner, and they're making a contribution, or someone who has received that U-Gift code, can let the beneficiary know, hey, I'm going to be giving you X amount for your birthday, but a portion of this is going to go into your EdVest account. So yep. You can have some fun and spend this, you know, the amount that I'm giving you, but know that something is going to be going to help to cover your higher education expenses down the road. They may not find the excitement or joy in that contribution right now, but I can almost guarantee that once they get ready to go off to college and they need a new laptop, they need books, they realize, oh my goodness, the school I want to go to costs way more than I ever thought college would be costing mm-hmm. right now. But they can take some comfort in knowing that there have been funds set aside over the years to help cover those expenses for them.
Right, and it can be and really is like a long game.
It is very much so the long game. Yes, it is.
The long game for college savings, you know, starting as early as you can, right, and setting up what you want to look, how you look to that and what that could be at the end, you know, is another piece of it. We'll take a short break now, and we can dig back into some of those topics when we return.
All right.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor of Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Khalil Ali, Senior Education Savings Consultant for EdVest 529 College Savings Plan. So Khalil, we were starting to talk about different ways to spend this money that parents, grandparents, you know, aunts, uncles, friends have saved for that beneficiary over the years. So you mentioned, you know, qualified higher education expenses, right? That's kind of a mouthful, sounds so formal. Break it down for us.
Sure. So yeah, it's got quite the formal name. That's coming directly from the IRS in terms of that naming convention there. But when you think about what are qualified higher education expenses, typically folks think of the big ones, right? So there's the tuition component, right? Wherever the beneficiary decides that they want to attend school. And so there's a variety of schools that they can attend. A big misnomer or myth is that because EdVest is Wisconsin's 529 plan, you can only use the funds at colleges and universities here in Wisconsin. But that's absolutely false. You can use those funds at schools here in the state of Wisconsin, but literally thousands of schools throughout the country and even some colleges and universities abroad. What are those qualifiers? The school has to be an accredited university, college or university, and they have to accept federal funding, right? So federal financial aid. So that can be your two-year community college, your four-year public, private, or religious institution. Mm-hmm. For your undergraduate degree, it can be for postgraduate. So just don't think that I've got to spend all the EdVest money to cover that four-year undergraduate degree. If there's money left over, use it for postgrad, right? Other things that it can be used for is books. Students are, I mean, we're getting into a digital age, but, you know, maybe it's a digital book that
they're
purchasing, but they still have to purchase the book. So the cost of the books, supplies that they need, you know, when we get to school, you never realize what all you need until you get there, right? So you're going to need something to do your assignments on. So whether it be you get an all-in-one computer, a laptop, or maybe the student prefers a tablet, they may have to print those assignments off. So if they need a printer, so those are examples of qualified expenses. As long as the beneficiary is going to be the primary user of that computer device, you can take a withdrawal from the EdVest account to be able to make that purchase. Let's say you have a student that is a science or a pre-med major, and there is a lab associated with it. I'm thinking back to my college experience, chemistry. You had the course, and then you had chem lab. So maybe there's a lab fee associated with that. If that's a fee that's charged by the university for that particular class, that falls under that category of a qualified higher education expense. So
in that example of a lab, of taking a lab fee, like if there was equipment needed that you had to provide as the student, I don't know,
goggles, right?
Like if there's a required item, right, your school supplies, your lab supplies and equipment, and that can all be covered as well.
Yes, that falls into that kind of first category that where it kind of breaks it down, where it says tuition, fees, supply and supplies, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to need those safety goggles if you're working on something
right.
in the chemistry lab, right? Maybe you need, you know, they don't provide you with gloves or something of that nature. So, yeah, those are examples of what could be used. That's not an exhaustive list, but those are just examples of what could fall inside of that category.
And, like, when it really comes to spending, obviously one of the biggest pieces is tuition. Right. I just was talking about, like, what about, you know, pens and pencils and spiral notebooks, if anybody still uses those. But literally, like, you could save your receipts for any of that, and that would be your proof of being able to get a withdrawal from EdVES while it's showing it's a qualified higher education expense.
Yes. So when you go to take the withdrawal from your EdVES account, you're not required to submit proof before you take the withdrawal.
Okay.
So you don't have to, you know, provide EdVES a copy of the tuition statement or anything of that nature. But as an account owner, what you want to do is maintain those records, because when you get into that withdrawal phase, you're going to receive the tax form 1099-Q. So you do want to take those withdrawals in the same year that the expenses are happening for the beneficiary who's in school. So other expenses they're going to run into, we talked about tuition, but what a lot of people don't realize is that room and board expense is actually, at some colleges and universities, higher than the tuition expense. So you've got to cover that. So you think colleges, typically two semesters, you've got a fall and a spring semester. I know some schools are on a quarter system and things like that, or trimesters. But we're in summer 2024, so if you've got a student that's already in college or starting college, you're going to start receiving that tuition bill, you know, late July, maybe early August.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go to pay that, just create yourself go old school, have a file folder or a digital folder, and just have all those receipts for all the expenses that are happening between January 1st, 2024 and December 31st, 2024. You want to take that withdrawal before the end of the year for 2024 expenses. Often what you see is, you know, that spring of 2025 is going to come up, so you'll get that tuition bill in December. But you, if that's an expense that's going to happen in 2025, it's a best practice to hold off until after the first of the year to take that withdrawal from the account to then cover those expenses inside of there.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And as I mentioned, I'm a parent of two college sons, and it can get a little confusing. Mm-hmm. And so I do have a notebook that I use to track everything and understand what's been paid and when I'm either getting reimbursed from EdVES, right, not reimbursed, but, you know, where I'm taking the withdrawal and feel like I'm getting reimbursed for it. You know, one of the things, though, again, so my kids are out of the dorms, right? So it's rent. So how does this cover rent? What kind of board does it cover, right? Will it cover grocery bills?
So when
I'm getting in the weeds here.
We're getting in the weeds, but this question comes up quite a bit. So I'm glad that you asked. When a student makes the decision to move off campus, whatever school they're attending is going to have what's called a cost of attendance calculation for their room and board. So when they're on campus, you're paying that room and board bill directly to the college or university. So that is 100% covered. When they move off campus, and every school varies where they put this information at. Sometimes it's under the Office of Financial Aid, but they will have what's called a cost of attendance calculation. So it will provide the average off-campus living expenses. So that dollar amount that is provided by the college or university that the beneficiary is attending, you can take a withdrawal from the EdVest account up to that dollar amount.
Okay.
Now, again, it's, you know, we think of off-campus living, right? Most of the apartments are nicer than dorms, so the expense is probably higher. So you may end up spending that full amount just to cover the rent.
Right.
Right. So you may have some out-of-pocket expenses for groceries or, you know, utilities if they're not included in the rent. I know a lot of college apartments will include utilities to make it more enticing for a student to want to live there. But again, if that, for example, if that dollar amount provided by the university says $12,000 for off-campus living expenses, you know that you, if you break that down, you roughly have about $1,000 a month to spend. So that may be, that could potentially include rent, groceries. Now, do you want to hold on to all the McDonald's receipts that they that they utilize? Probably not. But, you know, it's similar to an honor system, right?
Yeah.
You have to have proof that what you took out was utilized to cover those qualified expenses there. So, like I say, typically rent is going to be the one off
That's
campus that
one,
eats
again.
Up the majority or even all of what you can
right.
cover.
And you want to have integrity with what you're doing when you do manage these funds. And I do know, you know, some of my kids go to UW-Madison, and some of those apartments there are well over $1,000. My kids don't live in them, but some of those are well over $1,000 a month. So knowing that there's that sort of cap side of it too, that it's just, you know, if your student or beneficiary lives in a luxury apartment, not necessarily that full amount of that rent is going to be acceptable as a qualified higher education expense.
If you make the decision to live in a luxury apartment, you might have to get several roommates
exactly.
to stay with inside the
right,
allotted
right.
expenses there.
Yeah, that was good. Again, just from my experience of thinking this through, you know, for our own family.
Sure.
And I can imagine other people have those same questions too.
Yeah, that question of off-campus living comes up. It's becoming more frequently asked than it has been when I first started with EdVest.
Right. I bet. Well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll dig into the other qualified higher education expenses. We focused a lot on, like, traditional four-year university. I'd like to be able to talk more about the things outside of that.
Absolutely.
So we will be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor, and my guest today is Khalil Ali, Senior Education Savings Consultant for the EdVest 529 College Savings Plan. So, Khalil, you were sharing with us the different things that are considered a qualified expense for higher education. We went through what felt like mostly around like a four-year university type experience. There's more. There's a lot more, and you're going to share that with us.
There is definitely more ways to use the EdVest, the funds in your EdVest account than just for those undergraduate expenses. So I kind of touched on this briefly in the previous segment, but EdVest doesn't just have to be used for undergraduate expenses. So if you have someone if there's still money in the account, it can be used for grad school, right? So master's program, PhD, right?
Yeah, medical school.
Just medical school, dental school. So, again, as long as it is an accredited college or university that the beneficiary is going to be attending, you can use that for some of those same expenses, right? At that point, maybe you probably aren't going to be living in a dorm, but, you know, you've got the tuition expense, right? So you'll be able to utilize the funds for that. But on top of that, you can use funds from your EdVest account for technical colleges, right? So not everyone wants to go to a four-year university.
Right.
They may find, you know, one of the trades, and they're able to study that trade at a technical school. We've got some great technical colleges here within the state of Wisconsin. So you can use those funds at a technical college. In addition to that, part of the SECURE Act actually allows you to be able to utilize funds from your EdVest account to cover K-12 tuition expense. So with that, there is a cap on that of $10,000 per year and it is for tuition only. And I have to specify tuition only because it is a little bit of a limitation compared to what you can use it for those postgraduate expenses. So if you have a school that has a uniform requirement that you cannot withdraw the funds from the EdVest account to cover the uniform for K through 12, you cannot pull funds out to buy a laptop or a tablet
sure.
for K through 12. But for the you can take out to that $10,000 per year to cover that tuition expense. So that can be a public, let's say you go to a public charter school and there's a tuition expense.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for that. Private school, religious school, and that can be elementary, middle school, or high school. So again, that full K through 12 experience, you can cover up to $10,000 per year in tuition expense. Now, in doing so, keep in mind, you know, you may have opened the EdVest account with the thought you were going to use this for college. So if you are utilizing that for that K through 12 tuition, look at what your contributions are to see if you're replenishing that. So you still will have those additional funds when it comes time to cover those college expenses. Now, on top of the K through 12 tuition expense, they actually added on that you can use EdVest funds for student loan repayment. So this can be qualified education loans for the beneficiary or any of their siblings. There is a lifetime maximum on that of $10,000 per individual. So Heather, you've got two sons.
Yep.
So let's say one of them has chosen a much more expensive school to attend than his brother. And so you don't utilize all the expenses, all the account for one. You can, you know, if your other son did have to take out some student loans, you can pull up, you can take out or transfer
sure.
Up to that $10,000 to cover the student loans for your other son if that's something that happens. Now, what happens with this is folks look at it and say, well, okay, it says the beneficiary or their sibling. Well, what if you as the parent had student loans, right? And you're like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? The great thing about EdVest is that if you are the account owner, and Heather, I'm going to use you as an example here. You've got the accounts for your two sons. Let's say you did happen to have some old student loans still sitting mm-hmm. out there. If there are additional funds after your two boys have completed their undergrad and you still got those loans, what you can do is open an account for yourself. So you're going to be the account owner and the beneficiary. Because you are the account owner on the accounts for your two boys, you can transfer unused funds from any of their accounts to your account where you're the owner and beneficiary to then cover some of your student loan expense. So,
and it still would be a qualified higher education expense, which would avoid any kind of additional taxes or penalties or anything like that.
That is correct.
Because
you created that account, so you're the beneficiary, and now you have those funds in the account. So you've put yourself in a position to cover those parameters for the student loan repayment. And again, that's a lifetime maximum of $10,000 mm-hmm. per individual. If you have a special needs student, you can cover their expenses as well. So a lot of times folks don't think about that. You know, we often don't think about the continuing education of a special needs individual for post-secondary school. But the expenses that are part of their enrollment or attendance
mm-hmm.
can be used. Those are also an additional use for a qualified expense from the EdVest account.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Are there other ways to like move the funds you've saved for someone to a different beneficiary? Like how far out, like I could put it back to myself, I can kind of move it between my children. You know, is there I thought there was like where it extends a little farther out even in the family circle.
It does. So the EdVest definition is you can utilize the funds for anyone in the immediate family, including up to a first cousin of the named beneficiary on that account. So you can really, you know, if you've been a good saver and, you know, the beneficiary did not utilize all the funds, you may be that really cool aunt, uncle, grandparent that says, hey, there's funds for other folks in the family to be able to utilize to cover those education expenses. So you certainly have that flexibility. With that, I will add that when you look at the Edvest account ownership types, to be able to make that transfer, move funds from one beneficiary's account to the other, it does need to be an Edvest individual account as opposed to the custodial UGMA, UTMA account. Reason being, the UGMA, UTMA, once you put that money in, it's an irrevocable gift to that beneficiary. You cannot move that out to someone else.
Okay, good reminder on that. But, you know, some of that, where my thoughts go on this, like moving to beneficiaries, it's not favoring any one child over another child. It's a way to get the assets to be used towards education in a more efficient way, in the most efficient way, right? Not having to pay any kind of penalties or fees again if you try to spend it on something that's not qualified.
Absolutely. And with Edvest, I mean, the goal here is to put families in position that they can cover higher education expenses and reduce or potentially eliminate the need to take out student loans. So it doesn't just have to be your children or grandchildren, right? If you've got nieces, nephews,
sure,
you can use those funds to help cover their expenses as well. But this can also be a generational education savings tool. So that's something that we can definitely dig a little bit more into in terms of how you can continue to use the funds from the Edvest account.
Yeah, you know, that's a great pause point. So we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk about that and some other features that are somewhat recent that have come into play when it comes to what happens at the end if there's extra.
Absolutely. There's definitely lots to talk about from that standpoint, from updates to using funds from the Edvest account.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor, and my guest today is Khalil Ali, Senior Education Savings Consultant from the Edvest 529 College Savings Plan. So, Khalil, you've walked us through many aspects of the 529 saving and spending plan. We'll start calling it a spending plan. There's more. Why don't you take us through the more part of this?
Sure. There's definitely more. So one thing I want folks to keep in mind is that every beneficiary's college savings path, their journey, is going to be different. You're going to have some students that are going to make the decision to attend college right after completing high school. Some will take that gap year. Some may start their college education but may have to stop for whatever reason. The great thing about the Edvest plan is that there's no defined time limit that you have to utilize the funds by. So let's say you did start college right after high school, but for whatever reason you had to pause while you were pursuing your undergraduate degree. And later on in life, your late 20s, early 30s, 40s, whatever that age may be, you make the decision to return to school. Those funds, as long as you left them in the Edvest account, are still there and available for you to utilize. Perhaps the beneficiary made the decision that they don't want to attend college, right? I jokingly say they become a social media influencer or or a YouTube millionaire, so they tell their parents or grandparents or whoever it was that opened the account for them, I appreciate everything you say for me, but I just don't think I'm going to go to college and need the money. So again, you can transfer that to that balance to another child in the family. Like I say, anyone, including up to a first cousin, but you can also use Edvest as a generational college savings tool. So you can change the beneficiary from a child to a grandchild. Or as I also said, you can say, you know what, I'm going to go back to school myself because those assets are available for me to use. You have that flexibility with Edvest to make the decision on who it is that you initially started saving for, but if they don't need it, you can use that for someone else in the family. Or, you know, just leave that account there and, you know, when you do have a grandchild, change the beneficiary to that grandchild. So a lot of flexibility in terms of who can utilize the funds and how you can start to create that legacy for your family when it comes to covering higher education expenses.
That's great. Then let's say you just run out of the people, right? Or you want to keep that money in that student's name. They either didn't need to use it all because they shortened their education, right? They didn't need to spend all of it because they didn't go to the kind of school or didn't have the expenses that were needed to use it all. Or they graduate and they're not going to go back. What can you do at that point if there's just extra?
Well, when there's that case where there's just extra, I think one of the nicest things that have come about with updates and changes to the EdVest plan is Secure Act 2.0. So it went into effect the beginning of this year where the legislation said that if you have unused funds in an EdVest account, you can now make a rollover to a Roth IRA for the beneficiary. There are some guidelines or regulations that come with that, so let me provide those for you. The first is that the EdVest account has to have been open for at least 15 years to be eligible. Secondly, you cannot use any contributions or earnings from within the past 5 years as part of that Roth rollover. And there is, of course, a maximum that you can roll over, but I feel it's a generous maximum amount. There's a lifetime maximum of $35,000 mm-hmm. that you can roll over to the Roth IRA of the beneficiary there.
And the part that I like so much about that is that those EdVest dollars have grown, conceivably, right, that they have grown tax-free for that 15 years the account's been open. You transfer that into a Roth. Roth IRAs continue to grow tax-free until spent during retirement.
Absolutely.
So that, taking it from the investment into their college education into an investment into their future retirement, when at that point in their career, if it's right after maybe they've decided they don't need any more of the education funding, they very well could be still quite young and not have the income stream to be able to save for their own retirement as easily. So instead of necessarily keeping it as an education-only account to somebody else or for themselves later, like to really just say, you know what, now these are your retirement assets. What a gift.
It really is. And this is another way to kind of clear that hurdle where some folks have, historically have thought, well, I don't want to use a 529 account because if they don't use the money for school, what am I going to do with it? Well, now here's a great additional use for those funds. A couple other guidelines with that. The rollover is still going to be subject to whatever the annual contribution limits are for the Roth. So, again, you've got that lifetime max of $35,000. You're not going to be able to do that in 1 year.
Right.
It's going to be a series of years. But what I do like about the way this law or rule is currently written is with the Roth IRA, you have income limitations, right? You can only make so much. Mm-hmm. That does not apply to the rollover from a 529 plan.
So if you were a beneficiary that became, say, the account owner, right? Your parents had an EdVest for you. It's now in your name. You're still the beneficiary. You're 35 years old. You had a great career. Mm-hmm. You thought you'd save this for your next generation. That's something that maybe is not your plan anymore. You can't add to that Roth if you are over those income phase-out limits.
Right.
But you could transfer your tax-free growth 529 plan into a tax-free growth Roth for you. That's another good point. If it's just really been hanging around for a while and now you are outside that income phase-out limit.
Yeah, the way the rule is currently written is that income phase-out does not apply to the rollover from a 529 account, but the beneficiary does still have to have had earned income in that year to be eligible for a contribution.
Yes, that's another important point.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
And so last and certainly not least is, let's say you've exhausted everything we've talked about on additional uses for the unused funds. Folks, keep in mind, this is your money. You made the decision to save. You are the account owner. So on an EdVest individual account, you always have control of the assets. You can do what is called a non-qualified withdrawal from the account. And if you do that, the earnings portion of that withdrawal is going to be subject to the applicable federal and state income taxes plus a 10% federal penalty on the earnings. But that's just the earnings. That is not the entire amount. So an example I sometimes like to provide for folks is, let's say there's $10,000 left in the account. Of that $10,000, $8,000 of it is what you've contributed. So $2,000 is the earnings. You're paying the tax, the applicable taxes in that 10% penalty on the $2,000, not the entire $10,000.
Sure.
So it can often be a lot less in terms of taxation than what folks are imagining when they, because you just look at the account balance. You don't always look at the breakdown inside of it.
And those earnings in any account other than, in any kind of taxable account, you would have paid taxes on earnings anyway.
Absolutely.
So it's that added penalty. If you take out a non-qualified withdrawal, there's a lot of great reasons people can have to do that in the moment, right? Maybe those funds are needed to buy a house. Maybe those funds are needed to, you know, do some other things.
Right.
Like, that's, it doesn't mean that that's bad. It just means that, you know, you got some tax-free growth along the way that then ends up getting taxed.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, it's these are your funds. You know, yes, you put them into a 529 account because you had it earmarked for a specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But if something comes up and if an emergency comes up and this is your only, you know, avenue to be able to tap into to withdraw those funds, you can do so. Just know that you are going to be taxed and have that 10% federal penalty on the earnings there. But
right, which doesn't need to be as scary as it always feels in the moment of deciding how much to save.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Khalil, this has been fantastic. I think you've shared so much great information. I'm really happy that we were able to talk about this. If people that listen to the episode, if they have additional questions about any of these really fine points that you've pointed out that you've talked about or just saving for college in general, where is the way that they could maybe reach you or even a colleague?
Sure. Easiest way to get a hold of myself or my colleague, Kevin Pitleski, who's the other education savings consultant for Edvest, www.edvest.com/appointments. We have our calendar availability on there, so anyone who has questions on Edvest or just saving for college in general, reach out to us. You can select whether you want a phone or a virtual appointment via Zoom. You select the day, the time, we're available. If you do prefer to just give me a call, my office number is 414-410-0009.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I have used the book appointment on Edvest to go over some fine topics again with our own personal situation. So that's really great. I appreciate so much this time that you spent with us. As a reminder to our audience, you know, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from noon to 1 p.m. If you've enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call our office at 262-691-3200. And as always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.